97.5 Glory FM, as we bring you Community Focus, our public affairs program. And this morning we're focusing on the upcoming May 21st primary election. We're 2 weeks away from the election. Early voting continues today, and we're pleased to have as our guest this morning on Community Focus, Derek McCollum, who is running for House District 30 with the Georgia General Assembly. Good to have you with us, sir. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Mike. It's a pleasure to be on here. Appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for your service. You've been with us for the past 2 years for this position. Introduce yourself to our listeners who don't know you, sir.
My name is Derek McCollum. I'm a state representative now for District 30, which is South Hall. Covers Flatter Branch, Chestnut Mountain, kind of that Atlanta Highway to Jackson County line area.
And that is a wide area, too, isn't it?
It is a big area. It's not as big as some of the South Georgia guys. They have sometimes 5 or 6 counties, but it's based on the population. So most legislators, as far as state house, have 60,000 people. So however many people that is kind of the land mass.
All right, so if you would go back 2 years and also for the day, why you decided to run for this position?
Well, I'm a Marine veteran. I served in Desert Storm. During the Desert Storm Gulf War. And then when I come home, I opened a bit small business, South Hall Hardware, which used to be known as S&D. But after we sold the hardware store, I went to work with the Hall County Fire Service. And I've always had a passion to serve my community, servant's heart. And after I retired from the fire service, I just felt like it's a perfect transition to go and run as a state representative and serve my community again as a different capacity. I love people. I love helping people. And this is a perfect opportunity to continue doing that for my community and my country and my state.
All right. So what did you find out, sir, the first 2 years of service and why you want to go back and continue being a representative?
Well, we got a lot of great things done at the Capitol these past 2 years. And I continue to work on fentanyl. I know fentanyl is a really big problem in our community, and being in public safety, I see the firsthand of it's things that it happens with fentanyl. And I had legislation the past 2 sessions, and some of the stuff I got across some legislation to crack down on fentanyl, and then to help with Narcan, which is something that you give people that overdose. We got that put into K-12, so the teachers and staff will have access to it. You wouldn't think that would be a problem in the high schools, but it is. But this is just a life-saving effort to somebody that does overdose, and that's a big problem with our young people. They just don't understand with fentanyl that you can just take one pill and overdose on it. These drug dealers and people that are making these pills, they make counterfeit pills. Our kids don't know that they can just take it one time and it could kill them. That was one of the pieces of legislation I have, is to crack down on pill presses, and what they're doing is making these counterfeit pills. So having said all that, I just want to continue serving. We've got, like I said, we have a lot of great legislation, cutting taxes. Transportation is really something that's important to me. I'm the Secretary of Transportation in the House. I know we have some transportation issues in the South Hall and Hall County. I want to continue working on that, and then just continue to help my constituents. Something that's really important to me that I enjoy is constituent services, which would be something that I, something small that they call me. I'm very accessible and available.
Tell me about how the constituency changed when, after we had the lawsuit and they had to redraw the lines. How did that? There's a lot of new people. I'm sure you're having to go out and meet and greet.
Well, fortunately, up in North Georgia, when we had to redraw the lines, none of the lines changed here. Every 10 years, the legislator has to redraw the lines, and that was when they changed the lines. That was when my district opened up to an open seat, and that's when I ran 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. This past time, the judge had ruled that the lines were unconstitutional and that we had to redraw them. So when we redrew those lines, the lines as far as my district changed, and anything in Hall County other than the congressional lines did change.
Right. I was talking with Derek McCollum this morning, who's running for House District 30. Tell me about the idea of the issues you see here in Hall County in the 30th District there in South Hall compared to the state. How do you balance that, sir?
Well, fortunately, we have we're in a Republican area, you know, highly Republican versus a lot of other areas in the state that are kind of mixed 50-50 or really close areas. We have, being a Republican, we have good schools here. We have a really good sheriff. We have a lot of good things as far as that goes. But the obviously being number, you know, one in our state, Georgia, is number one to do business, and people are moving here, which is good. But, you know, we have a lot of business climate here, that everybody coming here and building businesses. So that creates problems with transportation, like I was speaking of before. We had the inland port coming, which is a something that's going to be good for the area, but it's bad for the area for transportation. So 985 is a huge issue that we need to work on, and I've, you know, continue working on that. Down in South Hall, like I said, we have transportation issues, but we just have to continue pushing real good conservative things that we have done in the state. Cutting taxes is a really big one. This year, we, as a local legislation, we had a issue. A lot of elderly people reached out to me, not only elderly, but they reached out to me and said that their property values have went up due to reevaluation. So we took action as local delegates, and what we're going to do is we passed local legislation to freeze your property values at 3%. That'll be on the ballot on November. I encourage people to vote yes for that. That's something really good. Now, that's homestead exemption. So if you have a homestead exemption, if we get that passed, your property value, they won't be able to go up on it no more than 3%.
That's what Lee Hawkins, he instituted, wouldn't he? I know he introduced, let's talk about that.
Yes, he introduced that, and as a so it's local legislation, so it only affects Hall County.
Mm-hmm.
All the local legislators, you know, agree to it. We have seven in the House and then one in the Senate as far as Hall County goes.
And I know the whole state of Georgia would probably love to do the same thing that Hall County's doing there. I think it was a good idea because we see our tax rate just keep going up and up. Not really the tax rate, but the appraisals keep going mm-hmm. up. It's amazing.
Right. And actually, there was legislation this past year to do that for the whole state, but it didn't get across the finish line.
Tell me I heard today was either the deadline for the governor to sign bills or veto bills, or the key bills that you think he should be signing today, or should be vetoing any of them today?
I don't know. As far as, you know, we had 217 bills that got across, so it's so wow. many you can't keep up with.
Really?
We introduced, as far as got out, it was 1,631. But the 217, and then we had 153 local bills. So
wow.
it's a lot to keep up with. There's no possible way that you could, you know, remember all of them.
Or rather, so how in the world are you able to see so much legislation and really know how to vote on these issues?
Well, I'm a whip, I'm one of the deputy whips, and so the whips, essentially what they do is they get on the House floor, and we each are assigned 10 people, and we go through and see how they're voting, and then. But our morning starts pretty early as a whip. We have to usually get at the Capitol about 5:30.
Wow.
And then we meet about at 7, and we go over all the bills and the legislation, what we call the rules calendar, and that's the things that'll be on the House floor that day. And then what we do is we go over those and make sure we understand them. So luckily I'm a whip, so I can, you know, get that advantage of going over them. But then we have a whip meeting for anybody that wants to come, that anything that's on the House floor. So you just kind of work through them, and day by day, no 2 days are the same at the Capitol, that's for sure.
So again, we're talking with Derek McCollum, who's looking to become the representative of the 30th House District again for the General Assembly. He's the incumbent going into this race. Early voting continues today and 2 weeks away from the May 21st primary election. Let's talk about transportation for a few minutes since you're on that committee there. So how important is that from the state level, what's going on here locally with all our issues?
Well, I mean, you know, there again, like I said, transportation is something I enjoy. You know, something I like the inner workings. I was at a bill signing yesterday for freight and logistics. So essentially what that is we have a long-term plan up to 2050 on, you know, the port we have in Savannah is very critical for Georgia. It's a very busy port. and just like the inland port. So essentially what that does is it takes truck traffic off the road.
And we got an idea about how much traffic is going to be taken off the roads of these trucks with this inland port coming in?
I don't know. They have long-term forecast of how much it will be. But if you think about, you know, you can do a three-mile train and bring that stuff in, coming through Atlanta and, mm-hmm. and up to here, and then it's just local drivers that's distributing that.
All right. Is there an idea yet about a route when it comes to rail from Savannah here to Gainesville for the inland port?
As far as on the train?
Yes.
Well, it'll be Norfolk Southern, which comes up through Flare Branch and Oakwood and comes into to the Gainesville.
Same tracks,
yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. People ask that question. It's like, okay, because the amount of trains you would see coming in, we were expecting a lot more traffic with the trains, right?
Well, I mean, obviously the trains, I don't know, you know, I could find that out, but I don't know as far as Norfolk Southern if it would be more traffic coming through, because they already go through and continue going up that way. But, yes, right. But, you know, a lot of times the trains travel at night and things like that, you know, as far as that goes.
So you work with Russell McMurray then, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And I know we had earlier, I had Richard Higgins, our Hall County Commission Chairman, talking about working with him and working with the local roads and with state roads. How do you work with that local place like Hall County here, when even the Spout Springs Road Project and that kind of thing in South Hall?
Well, you know, Russell McMurray, he's great to work with, and obviously he lives here, and he actually lives in Flare Branch down mm-hmm. that way, and so the roads, you know, with the county and the state, so obviously a lot of the state's roads, we have Spout Springs, a county road, like you said, mm-hmm. and when Russell speaks, he says, if the county comes to us and they have some money in hand or they bought the right of way, it's a great partnership. We get money, the state can put in money to a county road. But a lot of times if the county comes to them and says, hey, we just need help on this road, and it's a county road, and they don't bring any money to the table, you know, that obviously that road is going to go down the list. But we've infused a lot of, as far as legislators and the governor have infused a lot of, money into the budget this year for infrastructure. $250 million went to local governments that upgrade the roads. $100 million went to airports in Georgia. $600 million went to capital construction projects, which would be, adding, building new roads. $500 million is freight projects, which would be just like we talked about on the inland port, things like that. And then about $50 million went to additional resurfacing of projects in our state on state roads and county roads.
What do you hear from the people in South Hall about upgrades to 985, maybe expanding those lanes? You got to work with the federal government when it comes to that, right?
Right, yeah. They actually, state DOT has been working on, they have plans on it and been having studies done to exactly what needs to be done and what we can do to those. But they do have to work with federal government on those.
Because we've heard even reports that there's a possibility of what's going on in the inland port of working on 365 from exit 24 over here on up toward Lula, that there's even a possibility of making it six lanes and then maybe having limited access, maybe renumber it to 95 all the way to Tallulah.
Yeah, they've got some long-term forecast on exactly how to do that. You know, they run these models on whether to use access roads on the sides versus doing a limited access, and then they have models as far as how much traffic it would create and how that would make it flow. So they're working on those things, and I think, you know, 316, if you're familiar with that road,
sure.
You know, they made it, they've started having to redo it and make it limited access because it got so busy. So that's kind of the thing with 365 that we're going to have to continue to look at and you know, work on that road as well. One of the things on 985 that was tough, you know, obviously it's in Gwinnett County, but they had to work through was trying to figure out how they can make 985 and 85 merge there to widen the whole, you know, the whole mm-hmm. road, because that's a, you know, big intersection. And if you widen 985 and you got to figure out a way to make that work.
And make it safe. And
I tell right, you,
that's the
exactly.
biggest thing from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. Again, talking with Derek McCollum, who's running for Georgia, the House seat, District 30. Let everybody know about how they can reach you and find out more details about your campaign.
Well, you can reach me on my cell phone number. My webpage is DerekMcCollum.com. You go on there, my cell phone number's on there. I'm very accessible. I own a car wash in Oakwood, and I'm usually there, and you can ride by and see me. But you can call or text me anytime. You know, usually emails are a little overwhelming, but if it's my constituents, I'm there and available to talk to them.
Tell me about working with the other representatives. You mentioned there's seven here in Hall County now, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. Working with them for everything going on here in the Hall County area.
Well, we have a really great relationship. We've got some good legislators here in Hall County, and we work really good together, especially in the House. You know, the House is a little bit different. We're a really tight-knit, you know, family there. We've got a new speaker, Speaker John Burns, which has done a great job. Just talking to that point, we've got a lot of things across the finish line this year. Fighting inflation, obviously, that's a big concern for families. And reducing the tax rate from 5.75 to 5.39, and eventually bring it down to 4.99. Illegal immigration is really a big button. So we worked on a lot of that, tightening up on our. We have some sheriffs in our state that are not enforcing ICE and reporting illegal immigrants as far as that goes to the ICE. So we cracked down on that. And then protecting our kids, we have a lot of legislation this year as far as that goes, protecting our kids. And squatters was a big issue this year. We got that across the finish line. I worked with Devin Seaball on that bill. And the squatters, people are taking over people's houses and you can't get them out. So we fixed that loophole. We just had a lot of great legislation this year we got across the finish line.
Talk about the budget for a few moments. We know we have a balanced budget, but how working with that, even with the transportation part of it, just all together with the budget, about what we need to do to even trim it maybe for the next 2 years?
Well, you know, fortunately in Georgia, like you said, the only thing the legislator has to do is to balance a budget. Mm-hmm. We could go down there and get that done, and then that's the great thing. I wish the federal government had that in place, that they actually balance a budget, but unfortunately they don't. But so we got the budget, you know, get it balanced, and we've got some, you know, a lot of money, you know, that's surplus money that we've used. And, you know, we've set aside that money as well because, you know, if the economy, you know, you never know how the economy is going to be. If it goes down, obviously, you know, the revenue coming in. But we've gave that money back to the taxpayer several different ways, and we continue to get that money and cut it, slim it down. That's why we did the tax cut, because we have, you know, surplus and continue giving our teachers raises. We're, you know, one of the big things is our troopers. We want to continue recruiting good troopers. We've asked the troopers to do more and more every year with down in Atlanta, and they're actually doing more than just roads, and our troopers are a huge asset to us in Georgia. We're losing a lot of troopers to other states, so we got to continue to increase their pay, and just you know, that's one of my big things as far as being in public safety. I'm always going to back the blue and make sure that our public safety is taken care of. One thing that we got done this year was PTSD with our public safety. We got that bill done, waiting on the governor to sign it. That's something that, you know, in the old days when I was a firefighter, you know, being a firefighter for 20 years, you know, you kind of just say, just suck it up. But that's not the case anymore. You know, you see so many bad things. And I know PTSD is a big issue with our public safety, as well with veterans, you know, me being a veteran. And that's something that we got across the finish line that just helps them get help with PTSD.
Right, they're working with that. With one of our candidates for a Superior Court judge was talking about working with the mental health part and with veterans courts and that kind of thing to help the veterans who have PTSD. Mm-hmm. Is there something the state level does with all different agencies that we got, maybe to help out the veterans more?
Well, you know, I have a son that's had some mental health, and I know in Georgia we're just struggling with a lot of mental health counselors and psychologists, and it's tough getting people help. We had some legislation that we were working on. We didn't get it across. We got it out of the House, didn't get it across the Senate, but we're going to continue to work on mental health in the state of Georgia. One of the big things that our judges are you know, really need assistance with as a legislator is, you know, when you have somebody in our homeless, a lot of our homeless are veterans, and it's just heartbreaking that they've served our country and they just can't get any help. But one of the things when the judges, when a veteran or anybody that's homeless or you know has mental health issues comes in front of them, and they say they've stolen something or whatever it is, the judges unfortunately have in the judge, you know, you can tell somebody has mental health issues, obviously. But when they come in front of the judge, the only option the judge has is either send them to jail or let them go. We don't have that third option, which we're trying to work on at the legislature, and that was what the bill HB 520 did, was it gave the judge an option to say, look, this guy needs help. We get him evaluated by a psychiatrist, and then get him whatever help that needs. It could be as far as, you know, just getting diagnosed and getting him on medicine, or, you know, send him to a facility for a little while. But a lot of that's why I'm so passionate about mental health, is because our veterans, you know, we've been fighting the war for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And they've seen, you know, horrific stuff, you know, just like I have, between being in the Marine Corps and Desert Storm and then being on the street as a firefighter. It's definitely takes a toll on you.
Tell me, just for just different sidebar here, issue about Derek McCollum, for example, how do you transition from going from Desert Storm into everyday life again? That had to be so difficult for you.
Well, I mean, it's just like a, you know, like our greatest generation, obviously, you know, in World War II, you know, mm-hmm. those guys, I did a 1 year tour, and you know, obviously went up through and went into Kuwait City. And, you know, the transition's always different. You know, it's just according to what you see and things like that.
Sure.
But you know, back then there really was no mental health, you know, help or anything like that. So you just kind of you just run with it. But, you know, our veterans in World War II, you know, they were fighting for 5 years and they didn't know when they was coming home. So mm-hmm. it's amazing to me to think about those men and women that fought back then and what they did for our country. You know, I'm a big history buff, so and they didn't have any options on help. So that's something there again. I just want to continue. I'm on Veteran Affairs Committee, Defense and Veteran Affairs, and there again, I'm passionate about our veterans and helping them in our state, and continue to push things. One thing we did get across the finish line this year was our veterans in our state. We have a number of bases. And when you have spouses move in with the veterans, you know, they obviously have jobs, and a lot of them are licensed in other states. So one thing we did this year was pass legislation that spouse would automatically get their license, you know, within 30 days. And if they didn't, they could start practicing on whatever. It could be anything from a license from a hair, you know, they could be a hairstylist or, you know, cosmetology up to, you know, doctors or whatever as far as that goes. But we just want to make sure we streamline things for veterans in our state and continue to, you know, work and take care of our veterans.
Well, we've got the VA down in Oakwood, for example. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you work closely with them. I go back to years ago when Nathan Deal was a representative up in Congress, and I talked to him even back then about, okay, why can't, you know, a veteran go to, say, Northeast Georgia Medical Center or Northside Hospital and get help with them. If there's any other issues, go somewhere else. And it's like, okay, there's still this issue about going to the VA or going to a facility and then, you know, getting something streamlined to go even with mental health. You know, we eliminated Milledgeville back in the day. And it's like there'll be some kind of facility that could be to help the people who need help and get the easiest way for them.
Well, and that was another piece of that 520 when they shut Milledgeville down. That, you know, that obviously that bill and bills to come, it did a lot of things. And one of the things, several things that it did was it made that counselors and psychologists, we could as a state, if they would be willing to go to areas like in South Georgia and mm-hmm. serve, we would pay for their college. Something, you know, that we already do in the military, right? So as a state, if we see a need for certain things, we can help them with their college, but also it opens up facilities and creates things. But to your point on the veterans, as far as being able to go to different doctors, they have, I'm not 100%, you know, it's obviously the federal level. A lot of the veteran Sure. stuff is federal versus state. But as a state, we're going to continue pushing in the House to help our veterans.
Good point. All right, it's been a pleasure meeting you and talking with you this morning. I'll give you the last couple of minutes to talk directly to the listeners here, potential voters, about why they should vote for you, sir.
Well, I just want to thank everyone for voting for me for the past 2 years. It's been an honor to serve my community again. It's like I said, I'm passionate about helping people. I love helping people. I love my community. I grew up here in Hall County. I've been here, you know, my family's been here for a very long time. And I would, you know, love to continue to serve. There's a lot of other things I'd like to work on and help my community. I'd be honored to have your vote again on May the 21st and then also in November. If I can ever help you, please feel free to reach out. I'm always available. And there again, if I can ever come, one of the things I push, I would love to come to HOA meetings and see people in their subdivisions. Or if you have a group, I'd love to come and speak to you and give you a legislative update and anything, issues you have that I could talk to you about.
Again, this is Derek McCollum, who is running for the Georgia General Assembly from the House District 30 in South Hall County. We got much more for you here on 97.5 Glory FM. Early voting continues through next Friday, and then 2 weeks from today, on May 21st, we go to the polls to have the primary election on the Republican and Democratic side. Then we'll get ready for November. A lot going on here. We got much more for you as we focus on the community on 97.5 Glory FM.